and you're very welcome along to today's edition of Family.ie. I'm Ronan Johnston, and this is episode 2 in our series called Can Your Marriage Go the Distance? Last time, we thought about the issues of compatibility. We also heard from a number of couples who are indeed in it for the long haul. Let's hear a few highlights of those conversations.
Don't get the impression that we don't fight or don't argue or anything like that.
No, certain things would annoy you, you know, in terms of...
Still do.
Like leaving the tops off toothpaste or simple stuff, you know, but that's just normal.
I will see a lot where somebody will grow up in a family where they witnessed addictions. They witnessed their dad, you know, drinking too much or maybe alcoholism or whatever. Or they witnessed a father who was violent towards their mum. And, you know, as a child, they swore to themselves, that will never happen to me. Mm. And, you know, guess what? They end up in a relationship that there's domestic violence, or they end up married to somebody who has a very severe drink problem. Mm. Again, this is why psychologists say they're actually, it's almost like they have a honing in system on somebody in the room who has this problem. Mm. And it's like they're attracted to them.
This is family.ie. We do recognise the harsh realities, though, that not all marriages live happily ever after. Coming up after this quick break, we'll hear from three individuals whose marriages did not last. They'll share some of the issues that were unique to them, as well as some more real-world advice for couples who are either considering marriage or currently struggling. In the meantime, you'll find more information about the series Can Your Marriage Go the Distance at family.ie. Again, that's www.family.ie. Welcome once again to family.ie. It's great to be reminded that all is not lost, that lifelong love is not just a fairy tale, but we fully acknowledge that it takes work by both parties. We're also well aware that things don't always work out the way we hoped they would. Let's meet three individuals now who have the courage to share their stories with us.
My name is Carol. I'm from the south side of Cork City. I've lived in Cork all my life and very happy to be here. I was married at 21. We met when we were very young and, you know, he proposed after 3 months and we made our arrangements to get married and we got married fairly fast. But we were very happy and very much in love. I was married for 22 years. Definitely knew it was the right decision for me and he seemed very much the same. We were very committed to understanding each other and in planning our family, and we did so after a couple of years. We had two lovely daughters. I think the huge responsibility in parenting and our different ways of parenting was stressful because you want to do the best for your children and raise them as, you know, God would want us to raise our children. What probably changed really was as we got a bit older and into middle age, there were a lot of difficulties that came up that kind of surfaced and a lot of issues compounded on top of each other in our family and in the wider family that were pretty serious. So it was almost that one issue just compounded on top of another over a period of years, and that created an awful lot of stress. So that by the time we'd reached a certain point, it was really difficult. My husband, then husband, really wanted out at that stage. And, you know, we tried to work it out as best we could, but it wasn't really improving. Our marriage wasn't improving, so we separated, you know. I feel that the people we became in midlife were different than the people we were when we were 21. You know, we grew, but we grew apart, really, over a number of years. I'd say over a period of years, my mother died in 2000 fairly suddenly, and that was traumatic, really. There was a lot of fallout with the family, and then I'd say it was over 5 years, 4 to 5 years, that it really was just breaking down. Get help sooner rather than later. You know, sometimes we feel because we have the Lord, we can do it all ourselves. But sometimes we actually need further help. And to me, that would have actually really helped if we actually began to sit down and discuss it with somebody else, maybe, and look at why we had married, the things that we loved about each other, all those different things would really have given us a confidence boost, I feel, and helped us understand where we were currently at then. So I think that would have probably helped, but we were trying to do it ourselves and we were failing, really. So for me, I feel early intervention would actually have helped. Sit down, have those talks before you get married. Talk about the things that would be a potential problem. Talk about the finances, how you're going to set up your bills, your accounts, everything. Who's good at doing particular things more than the other, you know, and divide out the work, really. Be prepared for a lot of hard work when the children come along. It's quite a challenge. It's very rewarding. I mean, it's the most wonderful time of your life. It has its huge difficulties. You know, have as much of that understanding before you go into marriage.
My name is Martin Dunn, and I married in 1970, and that marriage ended 8 years later. On reflection, I realise I was a fairly immature guy. Big, but immature. You know, I'd been in the military, I'd been stationed in Germany for 4 years. I just had a great time, as a young man would. When my first wife came along, she was a very beautiful-looking girl. And, of course, you're young and you're completely attracted like that. And I think she, at the time in reflection, would have needed to have a life herself too before we entered into that marriage. I had, so to speak, sown my wild oats. She wouldn't have had any influence or any expression in her life at all, you know, in that sense. So let's say we were young. I suppose what changed was I was so military routined. Then when I came out into society in England at the time, I found the adjustment quite difficult. Then we had two children practically undergo. Basically, I wasn't prepared, you know, for the stuff that sort of came along. And there was an underlying conflict there. Not war, but there was an underlying tension. You know, things began to grow a bit distant that way. I don't think it was put down in actual writing. I think we both knew things weren't great. And then it sort of came to a very abrupt end. No, it wasn't a mutual decision. Absolutely not. When I think of it and the divorce that came up, for me, really, on reflection, it was a debt. It was an incredible, incredible loss. Emotionally, I mean, it just blew me off my feet completely. At the initial first 2 or 3 years, I felt no emotion, you know, that if I'd been beset by 2 or 3 guys and they'd had their work cut out, I wouldn't have felt a blow. That's the way it sort of impacted me. And I think, yes, emotionally, I went through some very deep waters personally. It was very difficult. I think in my own faith community, I was possibly one of maybe 3 people in the whole country. Part of the Christian community, I think they were magnificent. I went to a group and there was a missionary couple. She was Danish, he was English. For about 2 years, they counselled me. And they were magnificent. And the group, the faith group I were in, were incredibly supportive. One of the things I set my heart at the time, I would not get bitter. The second thing I felt was very inappropriate to ever speak ill of my partner to the children. And the third thing, as the children began to get that little bit older, just to express to them, keeping it a neutral territory, this is not your fault. This is mommy and daddy have disagreed and now we've gone to another level and divorce. And I think that commitment and investment worked out by the grace of God. Work at a preparation. Pre-marriage course, very important. Get yourself in and mentored on the couples who've been on the road quite a while, you know. 2 or 3 couples. There's wisdom in that because these people have a knowledge and an experience of life. Because you'd soon find a honeymoon period is wonderful, but it does come to an end. Do some real preparation and looking into it.
My name is Mary. I started life in County Kerry in Ireland. We were engaged about 6 months. We were married for 17 years. I had every hope that it would last. That was my hope and dream. What changed in our relationship? I think my expectations of marriage were very idealistic. I expected my husband to change when he got married. Expected him to, I suppose, to spend time at home, that sort of thing. When that didn't happen, I think I felt very, very hurt and let down. Saying that, he was very good when our first child came along, changing nappies and all that sort of thing. But when it came to evenings, when he'd like to go out with some of his friends, that took first preference every evening. And it didn't matter if we had people in or not for a meal. When it was time for him to go, he'd just up and go, and that was it. The reason he went out every evening was actually to go gambling. And every Saturday afternoon would have been spent in the bookies. I didn't really recognise it at the time, but with hindsight over the years, I've recognised it as a horrendous addiction. I have also lived with alcoholism, but in some ways I would say that the mind hold of gambling is more sinister than the alcoholic addiction and takes over a person's personality. 15 years into the marriage, I was reading a passage from Malachi. I was sitting up on the bed reading that passage that said, keep faith with the wife of your youth. And I knew something within me, I'm sure it was the Holy Spirit, impressed upon me to speak it out, even if I was going to be clobbered on the head for saying it. So I started to speak it out. And before I could finish pronouncing the first word, he yelled, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. So I knew there was a spirit in him recognizing what was coming and didn't want to hear it. Another incident, we were sitting in the car outside the house about to go off to the pictures, and I turned round to him and I said, if you go away, I don't know what's going to happen to you, but if you stay with us, your future is secure. And he turned round to me and he said, but I already have someone. I nearly fell off the seat. I can laugh now, but I was in shock then. He told me it was fate and that he was going to marry this person. I said, there's no such thing as fate. I said, we make choices, and we had made a choice. And we had responsibilities, and he had a responsibility to his children. And there was no such thing as fate. It was a choice to marry somebody else, even though he had a wife and children. To couples considering marriage, do a pre-marriage course. To me, now it is essential. I don't know if I would have done it at the time. I thought I knew what was right and knew the best thing for me and all the rest of it. Now there are some wonderful courses available. There are church-run courses. I know that there is a course a weekend away called Marriage Encounter, which I've heard really highly recommended, which seemingly you get to discuss things that you mightn't think of discussing, and each one finds out what the other is thinking about these subjects, and you get to talk about them, and maybe things like conflict resolution and all that sort of thing is building bricks, you know, for marriage. It's one thing to, of course, discuss these things and talk about them. It's quite another thing to put them into practice. But at least if you've done a course, some of it may ring a bell later when you come up against incidences and things that need to be resolved that you mightn't agree on.
Again, we want to commend these individuals for their bravery. We know it's not easy for them to share, but we really appreciate them sharing what they've learned the hard way. Right after this final break, we'll hear once again from family and marriage counsellor Linda Wagner. She'll talk about some real stories of seemingly hopeless situations that were turned around. We'll also talk about how to affair-proof your marriage. By the way, we'd love to hear from you. Our text comment line is 086 251 6886 or email us anytime, radio@family.ie. And stay tuned for the final segment of today's programme in just a moment. Again, contact us via text at 086 251 6886 or radio@family.ie. So stay tuned for more here on family.ie. Welcome to the final segment of today's edition of Family.ie. This is episode 2 of our series, Can Your Marriage Go the Distance? We're taking an in-depth look at success and failure in marriage today. The reality is that just because people are still together, that doesn't mean that their marriage is growing. If you've been experiencing conflict or distance, what are some practical steps we can take to foster a healthy marriage? To help us with that, Stephen Cardy talks once again now with a professional marriage and family counsellor.
Well, we're back again with Linda Wagner, who's been counselling for 25 years. It's great to have you back on the programme, Linda.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Linda, I just wanted to ask you about your experience of helping couples where they've had some difficulties in their marriage and they've come to you for help. And you've been able to give them help that's been able to put them beyond the difficulty. How has that worked out?
One couple I saw, what became apparent is that the husband wanted to still be in his 20s and wanted to still have that fun and enjoyment and everything. But now he had a family, a wife, but he wanted his wife to enjoy the 20s again with him too. But he didn't realize how much he was living as a boy, still wanting to have all the independence and the fun and not have the responsibilities and all. And the woman felt like she had another child that she was having to parent too. And he didn't realize it. And as we talked and everything, and he began to realize that that was true, it was funny because as he began to live as a man and initiating things and protecting his family and watching out for them and different things, he began to feel better about himself. I think as we rise to who we really are meant to be, that feels better. He's going to feel better being a man than a boy. I think for men, they struggle with that confidence. And I think a lot of men feel like boys in a man's body. And so as he did that, he gained more respect from his wife. And also he felt better about himself. He was enjoying it more. And it was lovely to see that change in him.
Coming to you, they can get some help and find a way through, you know, address some issues. These things can be got over, can't they?
A lot of it is the willingness to face things, to be honest about them. I think a lot of people don't want to be honest about stuff that they feel bad about and that they feel like they shouldn't be like that and they shouldn't feel those things. And I think with counseling, that's a place where we need to have people be honest, because then we can work with honesty and we can work with how do we deal with this. A lot of people feel ashamed or bad that they might desire somebody else or something, but not realizing there's something missing in their life or in their relationship that it's good to face, okay, what's missing there that you're looking someplace else? And then we can work on that to see what it is. And I'm not sure there's anything that can't be dealt with if both people are willing and both people are honest with it and face it.
Linda, there's probably some patterns, you know, some consistent patterns that couples come because they recognize they have some issues in their world that are going on. What would typically be the sort of things that you might expect if you didn't know the couple and they've asked for a meeting? What are the sort of things you're likely to find?
The first thing that comes to my mind is a lot of people say, well, I don't love them anymore. I don't feel love for them. I don't like them.
Yes.
You know, that I think that's one struggle for couples who think marriage is supposed to be permanent. They struggle with that. And then other people feel like, then I shouldn't be staying here. I should go somewhere else. They see something out there they want. And I think sometimes pornography and affairs come into it because partly there's something missing in the marriage relationship. But I think the other part is something's missing in that individual's life that perhaps a marriage relationship can't meet, but they're trying to meet it in those things. And those just drive more wedges in their relationship with their wife or husband.
If you were offering advice to a couple who are with you and they now trust you, they've met you two or three times, they like you, some of the real issues that have caused them to be with you at all are now on the table. What can they do to safeguard their marriage for the future so that to ring fence it, strengthen it, make it robust and strong?
The first thing I think of, and it's coming from this Christian perspective, is that I believe the best thing that people can do in their marriage relationships is trusting God for each other and trusting God for what happens in the relationship, trusting God for the differences we have, trusting Him for the things that we're facing together, trusting Him for the mistakes I've made and for the mistakes they're making. So to me, ultimately, that is the biggest thing that will help a relationship, is that my trust is in God instead of in the person I'm in relationship with. We're going to fail each other. We are going to mess up. We are going to let each other down. There's no one I can trust fully to always come through for me. And so that's going to happen. So I'll lose trust sometimes in a person. But to trust God for them and them in my life, I think is the biggest thing to me. Then I think it's this commitment to each other. And I think kindness is a bigger word than we usually think. I think being kind to one another is huge. Kindness can go so far. So being kind to one another, being loving for one another, being for each other, that the person knows you're for them, you're not against them. And sometimes we feel they are. And I think this whole thing of forgiving and knowing that I have to go and trust them again, if people apply those, it can really help a marriage a great deal.
One of the things that several people have commented on was the importance of communication and listening.
Yeah, so much of the time when we're listening, we're actually thinking of what we're going to say when they stop. And that's not listening. Learning to listen, to hear. And that's part of giving the benefit of the doubt, that when you do something that hurts me, you probably didn't do it to hurt me. So if I could hear, why did you do that? Or why did you say that? And let you tell me, then it'll make more sense to me and understandable. It hurt me, but that's not the reason you did it. And so then that can be more helpful for us to get to what's really going on. But we have to give each other credit that you're not against me. You're not trying to hurt me.
If a couple is facing infertility, that can have an impact on their marriage as well. What's that likely to do to them?
Infertility, I guess, again, you have to look at the couple and how important is it to each one. And again, looking at the past, it might have to do with past things too, that it means a whole lot more to one than just having a child. It may mean security. It may mean feeling loved. It may be an outlet for them to love, an outlet to be loved. There's so many things that could be involved in it. So I think then the couple, again, their relationship, how well can they talk with each other? How well do they listen to each other to understand what does this mean to you and what it means to me? And to be able to talk, I think infertility, it brings up so many emotional things in us and hurt and pain in not being able to have a child if we really, really want one. And each one struggles themselves and they need each other. This is where that independence isn't good, because they could be suffering independently and keeping each other out. And they need to be able to talk and let each other in to what's going on so that they can work through this together and get to a place together and not one at one place and one at another place.
Is it fair to say what is described as a 7-year itch is a phenomenon?
Yeah, I think it could be a 7-year itch. It could be a 10-year itch. It could be a 35-year itch. And I think what happens from my perspective is that it may have worked okay. And a lot of people have found a level of it working. I think in marriage, a lot of people adapt to each other and try to get to what works. But in getting to what works, they also let go of dreams and hopes and things they wanted in their lives and relationships they wanted in their lives. Maybe they let that go. And then there comes a time when there's a feeling sort of emptiness or dissatisfaction in life. It could be because they lost their job. It could be things are not going well. It could be home just as routine, all kinds of things. But I think it's because God made us to long for a lot. And I think maybe that's part of it, is people are getting in touch with what they're longing for. And it just, what they have is a drop in the bucket. And so it causes them to want to look elsewhere and find something else that will fill that. And I think people go searching again. But I believe they're searching for something that can't be met by a sports car or a model or a those things.
You've been listening to Family.ie, and this has been episode 2 of our series, Can Your Marriage Go the Distance? Tune in next time as we consider what it means to be married to your best friend. So we hope you'll join us right here, and we think you'll find our website has loads of resources that can be of help to you no matter your situation. Single, married, separated, divorced, stop by www.family.ie today. You'll also find links to follow us on both Facebook and Twitter. So until next time, on behalf of Stephen Cardy, Roger Bassick, and Anne-Marie Miles, I'm Ronan Johnston. We'd like to sincerely thank all of the couples and contributors on today's programme, and we thank you for listening. Slán agus beannacht libh Claire. Thank you for listening to Family.ie.